Hello, welcome to HIV Australia, an Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations podcast examining the latest in HIV research. Professor Sharon Lewin is a leading infectious disease expert working to find a cure for HIV. She joined AFAO's Heath Painter to discuss the latest HIV news, starting with the case known as the London patient.
I want to ask you about news that's been circulating recently about developments in HIV cure research, and in particular what is being described as the London patient. Can you describe how the London patient was cured of HIV?
Yeah, very happy to. First of all, I wouldn't call the London patient cured yet. He has stopped antiretroviral treatment and the virus has not rebounded now for 19 months of follow-up. That's a long time.
Yep.
Usually people's virus comes back in 2 to 3 weeks. So, but it's still probably, I'd rather use the word remission here, because he needs to have sort of be carefully watched at the moment, because we know from other circumstances that a virus can come back sort of at different times, and 19 months still needs a little bit more observation, I think, until we can really say he's in long-term remission. But there was a lot of excitement about this man, because very few people can stop their treatment and keep their viral load undetectable for that period of time. So very briefly, he is a man who lives in London who has HIV and was on presented with a blood cancer called Hodgkin's lymphoma and needed treatment for the blood cancer. At that time was when he started his antivirals and then had chemotherapy, which didn't work, and the next step was to have a stem cell transplant. And a stem cell transplant is essentially taking someone else's blood cells or bone marrow and putting them into the patient. And first of all, it's you need to wipe out the patient's stem cells or bone marrow before you can do the transplant. And in this case, the donor transplant came from a person who's naturally resistant to HIV. So about 1% of people lack the receptor that HIV needs to enter a cell, and that's called CCR5. So the donor in this case was CCR5 negative. After the transplantation, what we think happened was that the recipient, or the London patient, has a totally new immune system, essentially, after the transplant, and that new immune system is now CCR5 negative. So the transplant itself probably destroyed the reservoir to some extent, and any virus that might have been left after the transplant actually can't go anywhere because all the new cells are resistant to HIV. And this has been done once before, and that was the Berlin patient reported now back in 2009, so 10 years ago. But although doctors have tried to repeat that, it hasn't been successful again until this report. And why it's exciting is that the Berlin patient was also led to excitement in the field, but the fact that no one could repeat it led to people not really understanding which part of the treatment was important. And the Berlin patient actually had a slightly more complicated transplant regime. So this demonstrated for the second time that a CCR5 negative donor transplant seems to eliminate the reservoir and then allow a person to be in remission.
So it's really exciting, but of course that's really it kind of confirms that this is a complex area of science and a complex area of research. What insights does this give us in terms of our progress towards an HIV cure?
Yeah, so first of all, this is not a cure for HIV, nor would it ever be attempted in any form in someone living with HIV without a cancer. Stem cell transplants from an unrelated donor are really quite a dangerous procedure with up to about 20% mortality. So would never be considered. But what I think it tells us is proof of concept that HIV can be put into remission. And that's important. So it's possible. And the second thing is that the CCR5 negative cells may have been key to both the Berlin and the London patients' ability to stop treatment and stay in remission. And we can eliminate CCR5 in ways other than a transplant, and that's a very active area of research in HIV cure. And one of those ways is to use gene therapy. So using gene scissors, you can literally remove the CCR5 protein from a person's cells and then put those CCR5 negative cells that reinfuse them into a person. And that's actually already being done. CCR5 gene therapy studies are being done in the US. And actually were reported on at CROI. And so far, the method that is being used is that a person with HIV on antiretroviral therapy has a large amount of blood taken out. Those cells are modified in the lab to become CCR5 negative, and then the CCR5 negative cells are put back in the person. And from the studies done over about the last 5 years, that approach is safe. It does work, meaning that you can get CCR5 negative cells and put them back into someone. But so far, the levels of CCR5 negative cells are not very high. It's around 5 to 15%. You can use different tricks to try and increase it. In the London and Berlin patient, they had 100% CCR5 negative cells. So we've got a long way to go get to that level. So that's one important line of new research.
So I was just going to just to clarify. So there are really two avenues in terms of people who are living with HIV in terms of managing the condition from the perspective of a cure. And I don't want to overuse that word cure, but there's remission and gene therapy. Can I just explore the gene therapy avenue? How far away? And this is probably hard to answer because we're talking about health systems and capacity and of health systems to respond to the needs of people who are living with HIV and the numbers of people living with HIV. But how far away would we be from seeing this kind of therapy available to people in a country like Australia?
At the moment, gene therapy for HIV by knocking out CCR5 hasn't yet worked, meaning that in those small studies, when the person stopped treatment, the virus came back. So at the moment, there's a long way to go to get the CCR5 negative cells up to a high level that potentially could block the virus from coming back. Now, if that was done and it was achieved and then was shown to lead to long-term remission in a larger study, at the moment, the number of participants in these studies, between sort of 10 and 20, those sort of levels. So the next phase would be to test this in a much larger group. Gene therapy could be available in a country like Australia. We would have the capacity to do what's required. It would not, in its current form, be feasible in a low-income setting. But at the moment, that's because the genes are modified outside the body. So you need to take cells out, modify them and put them back in, and there's quite a lot of regulatory and clinical complexity to doing that. But we are set up to do that in Australia because those sort of procedures are done in some cancer settings. The real future could be for one day to get to something called to gene therapy inside a person, so that you could use a some sort of delivery system that introduces the gene scissors into the person themselves. And in fact, there was some early animal work done using that approach, also presented at CROI. So that's called in vivo gene therapy. We're quite a way off that, but that's one approach that could be translatable to a much bigger group of people.
And that would remove the need to take the blood out of a person's body, as it were, and then put it back in once the therapy has occurred.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we're talking about, you know, very high, you know, a sort of, that would be a major advance in science. So that's where the science is going. Yes, at the moment, it's ex vivo gene therapy, where you modify the genes outside the body and then put the cells back in. But the future could be in vivo gene therapy delivery. They should also say this would be very expensive. Yes. Gene therapy for HIV. At the moment, it's all been done under the context of clinical trials and haven't yet worked. But safe, feasible, and the, you know, the next step for try and boost those numbers much higher of CCR5 negative cells.
Yes, and so one final question, Sharon, just on remission, what's the ideal profile characteristics that someone living with HIV would have to have to be a candidate to engage with the health system for the purposes of going into remission?
Well, at the moment, there's no interventions that lead to remission, but there are a number of clinical trials, and at the moment, probably all of the clinical trials require people to be on antiretroviral therapy with an undetectable viral load. And the reason why is that when you go on to antiviral therapy, you remove all of the replicating virus, which is very important because there's a very large amount of replicating virus. But what's left is the reservoir, which is a very small amount of virus, but always there. And so most interventions are just targeting that small amount of virus in the reservoir. So the number one requirement is to being on treatment with an undetectable viral load. The earlier treatment starts, we think that's going to be advantageous for any remission strategies. And the reasons are that if you start treatment early, meaning early after infection, the reservoir is smaller and your immune system is more intact and has less damage done to it. We know that people's immune systems really return to very good and normal levels once they go on treatment, but they rarely get to completely normal levels. And so early treatment also enhances that. And of course, there's also lots of other benefits for early treatment in blocking transmission, which is, of course, a key and very important part in the HIV response.
Sure. So this really reinforces all that messaging around ongoing testing or frequent testing for key populations and immediate commencement of treatment upon diagnosis.
Yes, that all works towards reducing the reservoir as well. But at the moment, most clinical trials will all have different inclusion criteria, but nearly all of them will have this requirement of being on antiretroviral therapy. Many also require a high CD4 count, but not all do, and I think we do need to do more work in people that have low CD4 counts or have co-infections with other viruses like hepatitis virus, more work in women. You know, these are largely populations that haven't been really closely studied in cure research, at least in Australia.
Great. Well, what a really fascinating and dense but very hopeful environment to be working in, Sharon. I want to thank you so much for joining this and participating in this HIV Australia podcast. We'll be right back.